Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
For the last 5 weeks, we've been walking through Psalm 23. We've been listening carefully. We've been reading carefully. We have been taking our time to see how David describes the shepherd that he's come to trust. That Psalm 23 really is David's testimony of his relationship with the shepherd. That he begins, "The Lord is my shepherd," and then he begins to describe the shepherd, and he begins to describe the effect that the shepherd has had on his life and what it means that he has a shepherd like that. And we've been connecting these images that David gives us of who and what the shepherd is. We've been connecting these images to different names and different places in Scripture where God has revealed something about himself. But before we dive into our Scripture today, I just want to give you an update on our online Scripture notes. If you go to hillsideairdrie.ca/sermon notes, if you'd like to go there, the program this week received a big update. And so there's lots of things that you can take from here. And so you can go to there, or you can scan the QR code that's on the screen there. But when you go, we now have the opportunity for you to walk through the sermon all the way through the week. That when, if you were to go there, there's a thing right there that says, "Dig deeper this week." And if you click on there, there's scripture readings, there's discussion questions, there's devotionals that you can take with you all week from here. So once Sunday morning ends, if you want to revisit what we've talked about during our time together this morning, you can do that all week long with different scripture readings and devotionals. And you can questions for reflection all throughout the week. And so I want to invite you to take advantage of that if you'd like. As well, at the bottom here, there's lots of cool little features. There's a Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can go there and you can follow along in Scripture. There's a place where you can write your own notes. There's a place where you can take notes and save them, and you'll be able to create a journal for yourself. There's lots of features that are available there. So just wanted to let you know about some of the exciting things there. But back to our sermon this morning. As we've walked through Psalm 23, we've seen a shepherd who provides. We've come to see a shepherd who brings peace, a shepherd who guides us faithfully because that's who he is, and we've seen a shepherd who prepares a table before us, even when enemies are near. And that was something crucial for us to understand. Because we talked about David's confidence in the valley, that as David walked through this valley, he said, "I will fear no evil." And what we discovered is that that was not naive courage. It wasn't just trying to speak something into existence. It wasn't just him trying to declare these things so that they might be true, that I'm just not going to be afraid. But we saw that it was grounded in the strength of the shepherd, that God's presence in week four, the presence that allowed David to say, "I will not be afraid," that God's presence was strengthened by what we saw in God's authority in week five, that the rod, the staff, and the table, that's the explanation for David's courage. That when David says, "I will not fear," it's because God's prepared for this and God's not intimidated by this. And so even in moments when the enemies might come, God doesn't change his plan because, oh no, there's enemies. But that God's strength goes beyond that. And so here's what we know. When the shepherd walks us through the valley, And even when he protects us as we travel through the valley, even though we can say with boldness and with confidence that the enemies do not win and the enemies will not win, the reality is that you can make it through something, but you can still carry the bruises from that thing. See, David's imagery doesn't stop at survival, because God doesn't stop at survival. David keeps going because God keeps going. David doesn't say, I made it through the valley of the shadow of death, and so I should just be glad because I made it through the valley. But instead, he says this. He says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And so this moment brings us to language that's not specifically valley language. This language can be part of the valley, but this is really God acting in response to the valley. This is restorative language. This is dignity language. This is healing language, which shows us how the shepherd cares for his sheep, that he doesn't just merely protect his sheep from destruction, that God's not just responsive and God's not just trying to ward off the bad things, but it shows us that he restores what the valley drained out of them. And so David says, you anoint my head with oil. Now, that word anoint, it can feel like a church word. It's a word that we really use inside of church that we don't really use in other parts of life. And so it's a word that we can sort of use in church, and some of us might know what it means, and some of us just know other people say it, and we don't really know what it means. It's a term that can be symbolic or mysterious because we don't really use it in church. Or outside of church, sorry. But on its most basic level, if you were to strip away all of the church implied language with a word like anoint and just talk about what the word anoint means, it simply means to apply oil for a purpose. That on a fundamental, most basic definition, that's what the word anoint means. That it means that if you were to make chicken for dinner tonight, and you were to put some oil on the chicken before you put it in the pan, that you could, by definition, say, I've anointed our chicken. On a basic level, that's all that it means. But that's not just what Scripture means by this word. That there are times when it was symbolic, that we come to discover that anointing with oil as we move through Scripture is a picture of the Holy Spirit's presence. That it's a symbolic picture of God's presence in our very lives. Sometimes it was practical, and we'll talk about that in a second. Sometimes it was meant for setting someone apart. That when someone was set apart for a role, that they were given a task, they were given a job, you will read over and over and over again throughout Scripture, they anoint them with oil. Sometimes it meant preparing someone for leadership. As we look at Psalm 23 and we remember it was written by King David, and in the fall we looked at the story of King David's life. And at the very beginning, when David is set apart to be king over Israel, when he's just a young boy, we read that they poured oil on his head because oil was symbolic and it was meant to prepare him for what God had for him. But oil also has a very practical meaning. It was also a picture of soothing and healing, because oil in the ancient world was used as medicine. It was used to soothe wounds. It was used to soften irritated skin. It was used to protect against infection. And David, as a shepherd, would no one understand that oil for shepherds had a very practical purpose? Shepherds would apply oil to their sheep to treat their wounds, to soothe irritation, to protect against insects, to prevent infection. Oil was not only decorative, It was also restorative, that it was used for healing. It was used for restoration, which means when David says, "You anoint my head with oil," he's describing a shepherd who sees the places where the journey has left marks. A shepherd who doesn't just ignore the scrapes and bruises. The shepherd who doesn't just ignore the toll that the journey has taken on his sheep. But it's a shepherd who comes close enough to see the scars and the bruises. And a shepherd who comes close enough to tend to what hurts. It's not distant care. It's hands-on, attentive restoration. We see that God doesn't just merely get David through the valley, get him to the other side, and then say, "There, I did what you needed me to do. I hope that was good because it's all you're getting." Instead, we see that he restores what the valley has taken. And David says, "My cup overflows." That God's healing, his restoration, his what he brings to us, it's not just enough. It's not just barely sustained. It's not just enough to get you back to where you have just enough to get to where you need next. Years ago, not anymore, but sometimes you would fill your tank up with gas, and sometimes you'd put like 10 bucks in. You can't do 10 bucks anymore because it won't get you out of the parking lot at the gas station. But so I don't know what the like equivalent, I'm just going to put a quick 50 bucks in or whatever. But you would put enough in just to get to where you needed to get, because sometimes that's all you could do. And God's, what the picture is when he says, "My cup overflows," it's not that God gives you just enough to get to where you need to get to next. It's not rationed out sparingly. It's not given, so it's just enough. But instead, God's generous. It's abundance. It's more than survival. It's a healing that renews strength. Now, to be clear, when it says my cup overflows, this is not God promising from here on out it'll be a life of ease. From here on out, when your cup is overflowing, that nothing bad will ever happen again. What it means is that God gives you strength beyond just simply what was lost. What David shows us is the shepherd's care continues even after the danger passes. That we've made it through, but the shepherd doesn't go, "Okay, now you got what you needed, now go for it." What David shows us is the shepherd's care continues, that God doesn't just simply escort his people out of the valley and then leave us to move on. But we see that he pauses. He tends to our wounds. He restores. We see that the rod and the staff, they protected David because the shepherd was prepared. The shepherd was intentional. We see that the table sustained him, that even when enemies closed in, God said, "I have provision for you. I have what you need." But then we see that the oil heals what the journey's done. And this shows us something important for how we need to see and understand God's care in our lives. See, God's not only concerned with your survival. That God's heart for us is not that we would just go through life scraping by from one crisis to another with just enough to get us through our next crisis and our next crisis and our next crisis. That he's about more than just crisis management. That he's concerned with your wholeness. He cares about what's been worn down. He cares about what's been strained. He cares about what's been scraped and bruised along the way. And for many of us, this is deeply personal care. Because some of the wounds that many of us will carry, they're not visible wounds. But fear can leave scars on our soul. Worry and anxiety can bruise us inside. Conflict can harden places inside of us. Seasons of pressure can drain joy and dull hope. Sometimes you can look fine on the outside. That even maybe people will say, look at how well he does. Look at her. They don't seem bothered by anything. They just go through life and they can take whatever life throws at them. Aren't they strong? Man, I wish I could be like that. That sometimes we can look strong on the outside, but still feel worn down underneath. And when David says, my cup overflows, it's not David boasting. It's not David saying, look at how God cared for me. My cup is overflowing. Look at what God did just simply for me. Don't you wish God would do that for you? He's describing what it feels like when you're empty, when you've been beaten up, when you've walked through a valley, what it feels like when God begins to restore what the valley's taken. Not barely surviving, but renewed, strengthened, and given back more than the valley took. The shepherd who anoints, the shepherd who restores, the shepherd who heals what the journey has worn down. This is part of who God is and who actually God has revealed himself to be. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 15 for just a moment. And in the story of Exodus, the time we get to chapter 15, the Israelites, God's people, they've been freed from their slavery. They've been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And God miraculously frees them. God miraculously sets them free from their oppression, sets them free from Egypt, and they are a free people. But as they leave Egypt, they don't leave the Middle East. They remain in the desert where it's hot and it's uncomfortable. And as they're journeying, they do the one thing you can't do in the middle of the desert. They run out of water. And we read that they've actually been out of water for 3 days. For 3 days, their water supplies are diminishing and diminishing, and they're not being restored, and it's hot, and it's the desert, and it's dry, and they're using up all their water, and they've run out of water. Until they finally find a place with water. And there's a moment of celebration and a moment of relief until they discover that the water is no good. That as they've been journeying through the desert and they've run out of water and they're praying, God, would you supply for our needs? God, would you give us what we need? And they come to an oasis in the desert, literally, and they find water only to discover it's undrinkable. We're told that it's bitter. That it's undrinkably bitter. And so we read that Moses cries out to the Lord. That Moses, as the leader of the people, he's celebrating, we found some water, God has provided, only to then discover we can't drink it. But we can't drink the water. And so he has this conversation with God. God, what are you doing? Where are you in all of this? I don't understand. God, help me to see what it is that you're doing. And then we see that God shows him a piece of wood, a stick, a tree branch. And God tells Moses, take the tree branch, throw it in the water. And so Moses does. And somehow, some way, God uses this stick thrown in the water to cleanse the water. That we're told once this stick is thrown in the water, suddenly the water becomes drinkable. It's a miracle. There's no science behind it. It's not that somehow in the centuries and the millenniums that have passed, we've actually discovered that wood has a filtering ability, and it wasn't actually a miracle. It was just that they did the right thing at the right time, and if you just put a stick in water, it becomes drinkable. That's not what we've discovered. What we see is God performs a miracle. There's relief and restoration that God brings. But then God speaks. God speaks to his people. And he calls them to trust him as they walk forward. And he reminds them, the God who rescues is also the God who cares. And then in verse 26, God says something remarkable. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, God speaks to his people and he says, "For I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you." And the name that we get for God that we use coming out of this is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals you. Now, as we've been doing week by week, we've been learning the tiniest little bit of Hebrew. So I'm going to invite you to turn to your neighbor and just say, Jehovah Rapha. But to say it right, if you want to do it with some authenticity, you got to like conjure up some spit in there. That it's Jehovah Rapha. Like it's got a kind of sound to it. So if you really want to be authentic, you got Jehovah Rapha. The Lord who heals you. And this name is spoken at a very unique moment in Israel's history. Because the people have been saved. The people have been set free. They are no longer slaves in Egypt. They have seen God work in incredible, ununderstandable, miraculous ways again and again and again. They are on the path to where God has them. They are free. They are out of Egypt, but they're also not quite yet whole. They're still in the wilderness. And this is important for us to see. This moment in time where this story takes place is important for us to reflect on, because sometimes we think that healing, sometimes we think that God's intervention in our lives, sometimes we think the moments where God comes and God works, that it only really belongs in moments of crisis. That in moments where I've tried everything, I've done everything I know to do, I've done everything that I can do, and now there's nowhere else left to turn. Maybe if I go to God, maybe at this point, because I've tried everything else, I've fought, I've struggled, I've done everything I know to do, and now maybe if I come to God, maybe he will step in. But in Exodus, God reveals himself as healer, as the one who heals in a season of transition, where the people are out of slavery, but they're not home yet, where their greatest need has been met, but they're still in the wilderness. And when we see that, Psalm 23 starts to be filled in a little bit. When David says, "You anoint my head with oil," we see that the shepherd who brings us through the valley is also the shepherd who heals what the valley left behind. And when we read, "My cup overflows," We see that he doesn't just merely repair what was broken, but he renews what's been drained. Jehovah Rapha is not only the God who rescues. He's the God who restores. And not just physically. And not just emotionally. Not just spiritually. It's all of those. Wherever the wilderness, wherever the journey, wherever the valley has left its mark, the shepherd meets us there. So, what does this mean for us today? On our journeys and as we're walking our stories. Well, there's a phrase that we often, as people, will say to each other in an effort to be helpful. And it's deeply unhelpful. In moments where we've gone through difficult seasons, in moments where we've had to fight and struggle just to get where we are, perhaps in your life, and I know in mine, people have come and they've said, well, you know, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Hey, it could be worse. You could be dead. And we say this to each other in an effort to help, and I don't know that anyone's ever been helped by that. And what Psalm 23 shows us here is that God's heart to us isn't, well, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, kid. Instead, it shows us that sometimes what we survive still needs to be healed. It means that just because you made it through something doesn't mean that you don't need healing from it. That just because you've made it to the other side doesn't mean the process is complete. Sometimes seasons don't destroy us, but they can drain us. You can survive the valley and still carry its wounds. You can endure conflict and still feel worn down. You can make the right choices. You can walk the right paths. You can trust the shepherd and still need restoration. Sometimes we don't even realize how much a season took from us until we have an opportunity to rest, an opportunity to slow down, an opportunity to have some perspective, and then realize that did so much more than I ever thought it would. And Psalm 23 tells us that the shepherd notices that. That he doesn't rush his sheep forward as if nothing happened. He doesn't shame the sheep for being tired. He doesn't discipline his sheep because they're just not strong enough. But instead, we read that he anoints, he tends, he restores. And sometimes, healing doesn't always look dramatic. Sometimes there might be moments in your life where you pray for someone or someone prays for you, and there's a moment where healing is brought. And we believe that God can do that. That we can pray this morning, and in an instant, your story can change. That God can heal you. But sometimes healing doesn't always look that dramatic. Sometimes it looks like renewed patience. Sometimes it looks like softened fear. Sometimes it looks like joy returning. Sometimes it looks like strength that just wasn't there last week. Jehovah Rapha does not promise that every scar will disappear instantly. But he does promise to go to every place that hurts. wherever the wilderness has left its mark. And he promises to bend down and to anoint us with oil. And not just enough oil. Maybe for some of us, the prayer this week is to simply just acknowledge where we're at, to come to the Lord and just simply say, Lord, you know what the valley did in me. Heal what's been worn thin. Restore what was drained. Renew what was fragile. Amen. Psalm 23 begins with provision. It walked us through rest, through guidance, through valleys, and through opposition. And now it's brought us here to restoration. To know that God's not finished with you at survival. He doesn't just want you to get through it to get on to the next thing. That God's not just finished with you when you've just made it through. But he's committed to your wholeness. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. David doesn't say, I was never wounded. He does not say the valley didn't affect me. These instead are acknowledgments that the journey, the valley has taken its toll on me. But he says that my shepherd restored me. The journey left its marks, but the shepherd tended to them. And for some of us, this may be where you are this morning. Maybe not in crisis. Now maybe you're here in crisis, and I don't want to discount that or say none of us are in crisis. Thank God. Some of us may be here in crisis, but this message may be for someone who's not in crisis at the moment, not in obvious danger, but tired, worn thin. Carrying something from a season that took more out of us than we ever realized it did. Psalm 23 reminds us that the shepherd's not only strong, he's not only protective, but he's attentive and he heals. Jehovah Rapha. The God who heals you. Not just the people in Exodus 15. Not just David. You. The God who heals you. And so as we continue to live inside this psalm, reading it, praying it, letting its language shape our understanding of who God is. Next week is the last sermon in this series, and then we're going to move on to something else. But as we continue to live inside this psalm, may we begin to trust that restoration is a part of who God is. That the valley is not the end of the story. That protection is not the end of the story, that even survival is not the end of the story. But wholeness is. The oil is applied, the cup overflows, and the shepherd who brought you through is also the shepherd that will restore you. And I pray that we would learn to trust him there. So, three takeaways for our time together today. First, survival is not the end of your story. Restoration is part of God's care. Making it through a valley does not mean that nothing was lost. The shepherd who protected you is committed to restoring what was run down. God doesn't just do crisis management. He cares about your wholeness. Second, the shepherd tends to what the valley took from you. You anoint my head with oil. In the ancient world, oil soothed wounds and healed irritation. David shows us a God who notices fatigue, fear, and hidden wounds, and then chooses to come close enough to heal them. And lastly, Jehovah Rapha is the God who heals with the journeys marked. In Exodus, God showed himself as the God who heals, not only in crisis, but even in moments of transition. He does not promise instant erasure of every scar, but he promises to meet us where the wilderness has left its mark. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that in moments where the weight of the journey is just too much, in moments where the experience of the journey is more than we can handle, in moments where maybe we should feel victorious because we've made it through, there can still be the scars and the bruises and the weight of the journey. God, I thank you that your posture towards us is not, well, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I thank you that your posture towards us today and every day is that you're not just concerned with getting us to the other side, but that your heart and your posture towards us is one of healing and wholeness and restoration. And so, God, I pray for those gathered here today. God, those who are tired, who are worn out, who are thin, who have walked the battles of life and now just carry the scars. God, I thank you that your heart towards those is still one of wholeness. That you haven't called us to wear our battle scars as testimonies of your faithfulness or testimonies of our bravery, but God, that you've called us, or your heart towards us is to heal even those. And so God, I pray for those carrying scars and bruises this morning. God, would you bring healing? Would you anoint us with oil? Would you anoint us with your presence to overflowing, that we wouldn't just be recharged enough to just make it to the next thing, but God, that we would be filled to overflowing with your presence, with your healing, with your restoration. God, would you work in us to heal us? God, I thank you that even as we sang this morning, that the cross of salvation was only the beginning. God, I thank you that the cross of salvation was more than enough. That if you did nothing else for us, God, that was more than enough. But God, I thank you that you continue to be faithful to give us more than enough. That more than we deserve, more than we have any right to presume or to ask for, God, I thank you that you continue to heal us and you continue to restore us. And so, God, I thank you that your promise is that you'll meet us even today where we find ourselves. God, you would still bring healing. God, I thank you for the way you love us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power together. As family, we go,